T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Fourth and final hour, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. We are here at Fenway. It's actually kind of fun watching this whole thing as the team and their guests and their families and everybody has returned here to Fenway Park. A couple of guys kind of stopped and got captured by the cameras and microphones outside the park. One was Alex Cora. He was just talking a moment ago. The other's David Price.
And look who's next to him. It was Brock Holt right next to him, just like when we interviewed those guys back a couple months ago.
And he's now Price is chasing Brock Holt around.
Yeah, he's in a pretty good mood. And, I mean, they all should be. Every single one of these guys should be. I mean, this is it. This is what you did the whole season for, going back to last February, March, when they got together. And what's funny is usually you say about a team, you're like, oh, all the highs and lows or what they went through.
There weren't a lot of lows
here. I was going to say, this team was the best team the whole way, and I'm not saying everybody picked them.
Well, they did lose opening day.
They lost opening day.
Then went 17-2 in the first 19 games.
Right, and they rolled through, and sure, they had some injuries. Every team has injuries. You know, Chris Sale was on the DL a couple of times in August, but this team really, start to finish, was the best team in Major League Baseball, and as we discussed as they went through the playoffs, they faced a very difficult road, beating a 100-win Yankee team, beating the defending champion Astros, and then the NL defending champion Dodgers. So you put it all together, and you get the best team in the franchise history.
I'm not sure how much credit we want to take, Keith.
Probably a lot.
Individually, how much, you know, because let's be honest, we think that we turned the season around for David Price.
I think that we did as well.
As we're sitting here watching the cameras out on the street and watching Price and Brock Holt out there with their arms around each other and joking and laughing. The Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon, which was here at Fenway back at the end of August, and Holt and Price were both sitting in that studio that's right behind him there, the center field studios here at Fenway Park, and this was the exchange.
I feel like it's...
You seem like such a nice guy sitting here.
No, I'm saying
I think he's misunderstood.
You think he is?
Yeah. No, this is one of the best teammates, people that I've ever been around. But yeah, the day he pitches, you want to stay away from him.
Not a friendly guy those
not
days.
Not a friendly guy, man. Some pitchers, man, they completely change on days they pitch, and he's one of them. So
we get one day a week to do our job.
Yeah,
one day.
So you laugh and hang out with him for, you know, the days that he doesn't pitch, and then whenever he does, you try to stay away. But that's just how he gets locked in, and you know, it's been working for him. So you know, if I can have a friend for six out of the seven days, it's pretty good. So I'll take it.
So think about that: zero playoff wins before going on Dale and Keefe, 3 playoff wins as a starter after.
I mean, modesty forbids me from taking complete credit.
Pretty good,
but
pretty good job,
most of it. But I'm just watching these two guys out on the street together, and it's like, you know, Danny DeVito and Arnold Schwarzenegger out there.
I think Brock Holt's in a little bit better shape.
All right, he might be. But, you know, both of them carrying their sons around. Xavier is David Price's son. Griff is Brock Holt's son. And I'm watching Holt talking to the media, holding Griff, and David Price over Brock's shoulder making funny faces at Griff. And it just seems like so different from the guy who we heard snapping and snarling at the media in the aftermath of winning a World Series.
Well, and part of it, too, is, you know, Brock Holt says you don't want to be around him on game day, and that could very well...
Which is, I understand, by the way.
A lot of guys are like that.
Pedro was that guy.
Pedro's like that. A lot of guys are like that. But that may even carry over into game night, right? Like, so the game is over, but has he really turned it off
yet? Can't turn it off quite as quickly.
And so maybe some of that is what you're going on there. It was interesting when we talked to Joe Castiglione earlier that he really confirmed what a lot of us thought. He said this team, he's never seen a team this close. Like the group of guys, the 25 guys, along with the manager and the coaching staff, they get along better than he's ever seen. And I thought 2013.
And you could see that, couldn't you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm just saying he confirmed it. I mean, that's kind of what you thought. And anytime a player mentioned any of the other players, they always spoke so glowingly. And then just the way you could even see it on the field, like the way they would handle themselves in the dugout and then the bullpen. I mean, that was one of those moments too, where they're giving Chris Sale a standing ovation on his way out to get the last three outs. You don't get that on every single team.
It was funny, too, because they had this thing that they had going all season long where a player would hit a home run, and as he would come to the dugout, Mookie would take his helmet off.
Right, right.
And then hand it to the bat boy. But, you know, he had to be the one.
What am I doing with this?
And so Steve Pierce hit the last home run there, the one that, you know, the empty net home run.
Yeah.
And he gets near the dugout, and all of a sudden you see Mookie sprint up the steps. He had been in the clubhouse going to the bathroom or something.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And he had to rush out there.
Yeah.
But, you know, you saw the whole Brock Holt, J.D. Martinez jumping around hug after home runs. When you talk about teams that seem to like each other, and I understand, you win 108 games and win a World Series, there's a whole lot of happy going on down there. But they were like this in spring training, for crying out loud.
All the way there. And then even, you know, losing a couple of guys, adding a couple of guys, but sort of the core group was there. And that's why I think Alex Cora, not that he hasn't already gotten a ton of credit, but he deserves a lot for that as well, just because you look at the 25-man roster that was on the playoff team, or in the World Series, let's say, the World Series 25-man roster, how many of those guys weren't on the team a year ago? It's very similar. You know, Eovaldi, it's Pierce, it's Kinsler, J.D. Martinez, right? I mean, so you have 20, 21 guys that were on the team a year before, or Brazier. So maybe 20 guys. That's still a lot of overlap from a team that couldn't get it done in the playoffs. Back-to-back years, couldn't get it done. They were good enough to win the division, but they needed something to push them over the top. And so, yeah, it was player acquisitions by Dave Dombrowski, but it was the addition of Alex Cora.
I think he was the single biggest move Dombrowski made was the hiring of Cora. And Cora told the story of, it was January, and he had a lunch, and I think it was Chris Sale and David Price, and he was meeting with like four members of the pitching staff, and they had lunch, and they talked about the season that was upcoming, and they talked about how things were going to be run, and the players who came out of that lunch said, whoa, this is different.
Well, it seemed like not only is he very relatable, but it was just what he was trying to get across. Like, everybody, we talk about them being aggressive at the plate. Like, that was right away, you heard about that, and then that was a theme all season long. But I think even just the relationship he had with the pitchers, and, you know, those guys were just really selfless in the playoffs, but even the buildup in the regular season, it just seemed like everything clicked. And now the challenge for Cora is going to be, can you continue to do that? You know, Francona won his first year. John Farrell won his first year. Both ended pretty badly.
Like, yep.
Different reasons and whatever else, but they did not end great. And I think you would have thought after year one of a World Series that both might have lasted longer. And so, Cora, right now, all signs point to great success, but that's going to be the real challenge for him.
617-779-7937. Ben's on the cell phone. Hey, Ben.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
If you told 1996 Ben that we'd have four championships here in 2018, I just would have told you to get the hell out. And
yeah.
Bright and sunny out here, and it's awesome. Listen, so I just want to talk about Chris Sale, because we can just stop talking about David Price, because he's going to be here for 4 years, and that's it, and we're going to hate the end of that contract, so I moved on. Chris, I think, it's going to be a real issue, I think, looking at two things. It's two seasons in a row where he's kind of fizzled. They got lucky with the big lead. Cora did a great job resting him, but it's clear it wasn't the same Chris in the playoffs that we saw for about three quarters of the season. You got him cheap next year, and then he's about 30. And I know the market's changed a little bit, which is great, but I don't know, man. It's gonna be tricky. What do you guys think?
I think it's gonna be really tricky. I'm with you. I would like to see him pitch this whole season before I gave him a contract.
Although I think whenever you do one of those, well, let's just see, you know, we got him under contract for the next year.
Yeah.
Let's just hold off and see. Inevitably what happens is the player takes offense and ultimately wants to leave. It's like, oh, really? You don't trust me? I helped you win a World Series, and you want to see?
But so you would sign him right now?
Oh, I absolutely would.
But what about the last two, the way the seasons have ended?
I understand.
Think he's healthy enough? I don't. Like, I think.
Well, obviously, they know more medically than I do. I'm operating.
No, I mean, based on what we've seen.
They had him out there closing the World Series. I'm thinking that it wasn't a career-threatening type of thing he was dealing with.
No, but he also didn't start that game. He was one of two guys that didn't pitch in the marathon game. He got scratched in a start against the Astros. He was on the DL twice in August. He was on a pitch count all of September. He has a career of pitching worse in September than any other month of his career. He's only been in the postseason the last 2 years because he never made it with the White Sox. He got shelled against the Astros in the playoffs last year.
Okay. I get it. You don't like him.
Sorry. No, I like him. That's the problem. It's like, I like him. I like him a lot. I like everything that he says, and I like it when he's out there. But I just think because you have the team option, you pay him this year, and hopefully he stays healthy, and then he's a no-brainer to sign. If not, I don't think you can just sign him at the risk of making him mad. I think that maybe at the end of the year.
I'm just saying, doesn't it seem like it always ends badly when you do that?
It does, and that's
why. Well, let's just see. You know, there's no rush here.
Well, and that's why, again, I referenced Kyrie Irving. It works out perfect because it's not disrespectful to not sign him now. They just can't because of the money.
That's
totally different. That's set up.
You wish it was like that in baseball.
Yes, you do, because you'd want to see it. Now, what was interesting was even after last year, somebody had mentioned to Chris Sale, like, hey, like, do you want a long-term deal? And he didn't want to talk about it. Now, I don't know if that's just publicly or even privately. He's saying, hey, this is what my contract is. I'm going to play it out. But even a year ago, if he was so obsessed with making $300 million, wouldn't he have kind of fought that even this offseason? Like, kind of pushed their hand? And they could have said, hey, we know you have two team option deals left. But he could say, you know, let's take care of some of that right now. Because sometimes you see that, you know, guy that's in arbitration, they pick up the last couple of years and then they extend them. But not the case. So personally, this offseason, I would not do it. I would not give him money.
617-779-7937. We're still here at Fenway Park. There's still a whole bunch of people out on the field.
Yeah.
They don't want to leave. They want to take pictures. They want to hug. They just want to hang around for a while, and they're going to let them do it.
Take Dale and Keefe with you wherever you go. Download the radio.com app. Now back to Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
We're last here in a World Series experience. You were with the Cardinals, and you guys lost Game 6. Sorry to bring that up, but you were going to be the Game 7 starter. So I've always thought that had to be like the ultimate, right? You're getting ready for what would be the biggest start of your life, and you don't even get that opportunity. To kind of go through that, to get traded here and to now be on a Duck Boat. Is there sort of a full circle here that makes you appreciate it this much more?
Thank you, St. Louis Cardinals.
Joe Kelly talking with my Nesson colleague Tom Karen on the stage here. And he not only thanked the St. Louis Cardinals, but he also thanked you guys. You guys who actually said that the Boston bullpen sucks.
Yeah, a lot of people were saying that, Dale, because for a time it did kind of suck. Like it was crazy because you go back to the trade deadline and they made moves that obviously really impacted the team, but there were so many relievers traded and the Red Sox stuck by their guys. And I'll admit, we mocked Dave Dombrowski when he said, "Hey, who's pitching better than Ryan Brazier? We all know the importance of Joe Kelly." And at that time, I think Kelly was in one of his downswings, too. And you're saying, really? You're going to rely on these guys? And then they proved me wrong. They proved a lot of people wrong.
Well, not me. I knew.
You right. knew all along. You had him. That's right. You had him all along. You're like, Matt Barnes, put him in a big spot. He'll be just
No, but
fine.
I did. I was all over the Ryan Brazier bandwagon.
You liked Ryan Brazier. Brazier, Kelly, and Barnes all pitched insanely well in the postseason. Those guys were huge.
Back to the calls. We go at 617-779-7937. Adam's in New Hampshire. Hey, Adam.
Hey, guys. I appreciate you taking the call.
Sure.
So I had two questions just to kind of wanted to get your opinion. First one is everybody's kind of praising Benintendi for being really aggressive and coming in and making that big catch to end the game. And I just wonder if you feel like people would have flipped the script pretty quick if he had been that aggressive and missed the ball
yep.
and lost the game for us and said, why was he so aggressive? He shouldn't have done that.
Yeah. Don't you think? I mean, I think that's exactly how it works. I mean, he made the play,
course.
So he gets all the credit. And if he doesn't, then he would have gotten
killed
for it.
If Bill Buckner fields the ground ball at first base, he's a hero to this day.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, that's exactly right. Of course, you make the play, you get to be a hero. You don't make the play, they don't like you so much. That's not exactly
no,
news
that's
bulletin
how
material.
That's how it is.
Now, to his credit, he knew If he doesn't make the catch against Houston, they lose the game. They don't lose the series.
Right, but it's tied 2-2.
But they lose
the
game.
Yeah. No, that was a, that was an unbelievable grab, too. And that was off of Bregman, too, wasn't it? Because Bregman, would, he was looking for that big hit. He couldn't get it. He walked a million times, but he couldn't get the big hit. And Benintendi makes that that great play. But, yeah, I mean, it's similar because like, the way he is, like when a guy runs aggressively on the bases, you see it. If he's safe, you're like, oof. You know, good aggressive play, and then if he doesn't, you're like, what an idiot. Like that, that's kind of how it goes.
It's like, you know, the Patriots are faced with a 4th-and-1, and Tom Brady throws a 35-yarder to Gronk.
Yeah.
If he makes the catch and Gronk
is – great play,
you know,
call.
Attaboy.
Yeah.
You know, if he overthrows Gronk by 3 yards, we're saying, what the hell are they doing out
yeah.
there?
No, I mean, but that was one where and he told Joe Castiggs that he had it all along. Like, he knew it. You know, he had it lined up. He knew where he was. He was obviously the card paid off. The little index card must have paid off exactly right. He was standing where he needed to be because if he was 2 steps
well,
further
he
back,
actually moved a step in,
yeah,
they said,
in.
Just
right.
before.
So if he was standing where he was originally, he probably either dives and, you know, bats it, keeps it in front of him, or it gets behind him, then the game's over.
John's in Andover. Hey, John.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
Great.
Hey, I just wanted to say, since price has been straightened out pretty quickly and sales has been straightened out pretty quickly, I think the two biggest questions, at least for me, is Kimbrel. For me, I don't see re-signing that guy. I mean, you can't unsee what we saw in the playoffs. I mean, it's just...
Yeah, but did the playoffs... Does that mean everything else that he's been here as a closer, that's all gone, in your opinion?
That's up to whoever's paying him money. But that's not my decision. But if it were me, every single game that he pitched in the playoffs, if I'm the only one, but I got increasingly uneasy every time that guy entered the game.
No, it was pretty scary. It was pretty scary. But then I always go back to, like, what's the alternative? And I don't think he'll be back because I think the money is just going to be too much. But it's easy to move on from him. But then they do have to have somebody closing games for him.
Absolutely. And look, the second one I had is Eovaldi. I mean,
yeah.
We play against Tampa Bay a lot, but I never once, you know, envisioned that guy being who he is. And I don't know what he's worth, but I'll take the question. I'll take you guys' answer off the air. But what do you think Eovaldi's worth, and do you think it happens?
I don't think he's back. Dale and I disagree. I don't know if he's worth it. I think he's going to get $20 million. Dale, you think it's more like 15?
Yeah, I think 20 is too big a jump for him.
Yeah.
And look, we, meaning Red Sox Nation, is probably overvaluing this guy just because, you know, what we just saw.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a pretty small sample size in an entire career, which, by the way, has included 2 Tommy John surgeries.
No kidding. No, I mean, when he was healthy, he was pretty solid. Like, he wasn't just a bum. Like, he was pretty solid. He dominates the Yankees. The guy could throw over 100 miles an hour. He was great in the postseason. Like, so all those little things help. And he's 28 years old. So that's the other reason why I think he has a chance to make a decent amount of money. And I think with the news today that David Price is not going to opt out, so David Price is returning for the next 4 years, I think that'll price them out of Nathan Eovaldi. So my guess is he's gone. I think Eovaldi is gone, and I think Kimbrel is gone. Pierce, I have no idea what the market would be for Pierce.
See, I see Pierce coming back.
I hope so.
I think they, at the moment, they love the first base platoon they've got with him and Moreland.
And he is
not going to be a hugely expensive.
No, he's, you know, 35 years old. He's bounced around the league a little bit. He's a great fit here. So I hope that he's still here. And then Joe Kelly, I think, probably will be here. And I know, Dale, you think he's going to be the closer. I think he might be at least in the
Kimbrel's
mix.
If Kimbrel's gone.
Yeah. And I'd be surprised at this point if Kimbrel was back. I think he'd be the most surprising name of all the free agents that would return. Well, that you would want anyway. Forget Kinsler.
Rick's on the cell. Hey, Rick.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I wanted to talk about intangibles with Chris Sale. I mean, to me, his lecture or, you know, pitches or whatever to the team was akin to Big Papi fouling the team in 2013. Given his, you know, his shoulder and maybe capabilities were diminished second half of the year and part of the postseason, but boy, I really think the Sox have been looking for leadership, and God knows when he's healthy, he's wiped out. And I really think just as long as we can keep him, Nine runs for the next two innings after a little lecture and turn that game around. I believe it turned the whole series around. What do you think?
I mean, they were so dominant in the playoffs. I don't want to go crazy about it turning the series around.
But for that game,
I loved everything
that was
about
awesome.
The move.
That was awesome.
And it is an indication of the leadership qualities that he has within the clubhouse. That and the scene for the last inning of the World Series where he's coming out of the bullpen and the entire bullpen staff, all the pitchers, everybody standing there applauding, giving him a standing ovation. Alex Cora talked about that today.
Yeah, I mean, you don't see that.
I've never seen that.
You never see that. But it's a good point by the caller. I mean, Chris Sale losing his mind in the dugout, because it seemed like after the Nathan Eovaldi performance in Game 3, the marathon game, the pitching staff was fired up. You know, they all wanted to start the next game. It ended up being Eduardo Rodriguez, who you did not really want to see as a starter in the playoffs, but you got to see him, and he was great. You know, up until he was left in there a little bit too long. But to think that you were going to get five shutout innings from Rodriguez, nobody had that.
No.
But then, unfortunately, they couldn't do anything against Rich Hill. So then Chris Sale fired everybody up, and it clearly worked out.
Generally speaking, I think it's hard for pitchers to be team leaders.
Yeah.
You know, that whole pitch every 5 days type of thing. He could absolutely be the leader of the pitching staff, and he clearly was. I think he's one of those rare guys who crossed over. It was pretty clear with that dugout tirade. He's one of the leaders of the team.
I was going to say, in that moment, yeah, you do. And they say, the leader doesn't always have to be the best player, but it does help. Like when it is the guy who for the last two seasons was their best regular season pitcher, and I know he didn't start as many games as he should have been able to, or he would have liked to this year, but you just know talent-wise, I mean, he's the best starter they have, and to see his reaction to it, those guys didn't look at him and say, "Oh, all right, shut up." Like they didn't.
No.
That was not the reaction. It was like, "Oh, okay, we better get things together here."
Well,
and it was perfect.
As he correctly pointed out, he's got two bleeping pitches. I mean, he was correct in his scouting report.
90 mile an hour straight, 75 mile an hour curve.
That's about it.
That was it.
And oh, by the way, he doesn't really even want to be out there.
Didn't
right
even
now.
Want to pitch, but he was their best starter still.
Colleen's in Hanover. Hey, Colleen.
Hello. Hi.
Colleen, you there?
Hello.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
Hi. Go ahead,
how
Colleen.
You?
You're on.
Oh, okay. So, caught me off guard here. I just started listening.
Ross, did you call her?
Hello?
Yeah,
hello,
go
Colleen,
ahead.
Go ahead. You're on Sports Talk Radio.
Okay, so I literally just started listening to your radio station 3 days ago.
Nice.
And
what do you think?
I just started watching baseball this year.
Perfect timing.
Front runner.
Absolutely. So this is just a comment. I don't have any names or stats or anything like that.
It's fine.
I am definitely a baseball fan for the reason being that pure entertainment, mm-hmm. A pure game.
Yep. America's pastime, some would say.
No politics involved.
None.
I was hooked when James Taylor got up there and sang the national anthem and everybody was involved.
That's what did it for you?
You like James Taylor, huh?
Not necessarily do I like James Taylor. Just the
good.
Whole format of everybody playing ball, everybody won, and I think we all needed that.
I think we needed that, too. I mean, it didn't have to be him, necessarily, but the anthem I thought was nice to hear.
There's no drama involved, like in football. No. There's no pretty boys. It's just baseball.
Just men.
I don't know. Andrew Benintendi's kind of pretty. But...
Well, I was hearing all the stuff about Joe Kelly.
Oh, that's what my daughter my daughter and her friend told
me.
Ooh, who's that?
Well, it's good to have you as a listener and
I mean,
a baseball fan, Colleen. That was certainly something.
Colleen is right that there was a
a
lack of a political bent to anything that happened. Post World Series win, I think we ran the cut of Heath Hembry, who evidently would enthusiastically accept an invitation to the White House.
Oh yeah, so that'll be one of the next things for this team. I wonder how many guys.
And it won't happen until March.
Right.
It'll be sometime during spring training if it happens at all. Now, John Henry did say, we would probably go, but he also said, I got to see what everybody else thinks. So
true. A lot can change in 5 months.
It has a tendency to do that.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens there. But Heath will be there. Heath Hembry will be
all
there.
All by himself.
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah.
Excuse me?
I'm here for the Red Sox thing. They're like, oh, no, we're not doing that
World
today.
Series champion here.
They're like, we're not doing that. And then Trump would get up there and be like, and if it wasn't for the 4 2/3 of Heath Hembree in the playoffs, he's only going to talk about the guys who were there. So.
Did he have that many?
I think in the playoffs. Not the World Series.
Okay, World Series. I didn't remember him in the World Series.
Yes.
This whole thing today has been fun to watch. I think the city of Boston has enjoyed the whole World Series experience. Normally, when we get to the close of the show, we kind of do what else you got, and we go through some stories that we might not have gotten to during the course of the day. But when we come back in just a few minutes for what else you got today, I think we're going to bring back the Jason Rossi montage.
Oh, I would love to hear that again.
To kind of celebrate the World Series championship and the end of the baseball season. So that's all still upcoming as we continue on here at Fenway Park. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
He's Joe cute. Kelly?
Oh, yeah, they think he's totally cute.
Joe Kelly's cute?
Now back to Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
You know, we've had so much going on today. And I know you, thankfully, on Twitter have, you know, gave a little nod to Halloween, but we kind of forgot all that today.
Halloween, I know. We got all swept up in it. I know the kids out there haven't. They're going to a parade in the morning, and they're going to trick-or-treat
here at night. If they sober up in time.
But, yeah, I tweeted out everybody on the show's favorite horror movies, Dale. You're consistent there with The Exorcist, which is a great choice.
Scariest movie I've ever seen.
Great movie. I'm going with Scream. The guys back at the studio are going with some different choices. Rossi's is Saw.
Oh.
And Shine Time.
What was that?
No, hold on. No, Shine Time is
The Strangers.
I want
to see somebody stick needles in people's eyes and stuff.
That one's not as graphic as the sequels. It is, however, quite graphic.
Because they left so many unanswered questions in the first one.
There was a lot of great questions, great follow-up. But anyway, that's what we have there. You can engage with us on Twitter as far as that is concerned.
And what was Shime's choice?
The Strangers.
Oh, The Strangers.
Which was pretty creepy. That was a pretty scary. It was a newer one. It was like 10 years ago.
It reminds me of my epic nightmare. So that's kind of why.
That's true.
Shime, one of my favorites.
That nightmare story still is insane. Shime has one nightmare all the time. And it goes the exact same way every time.
Do you think he needs a little variety, you know, into his diet? Or
I think he needs something.
His drinking patterns before
yeah,
he goes
maybe
to
maybe we're on
to
something. Bed, maybe you've pinpointed it.
You know, try something a little different.
Something else.
Mix in a milk.
No, you think that'll help?
A little warm milk before bed might just change everything.
That's true. That can
mix
help.
Mix that in.
That
this will probably kind of put an end to the whole, you know, World Series celebration hangover. As I said, I think these guys are all going to scatter to the four winds here over the next couple of days. You know, we'll get some off-season stuff, some hot stove stuff, you know, including, you know, are they going to bring this guy back? Are they going to re-sign that guy? Are they working on a contract for so-and-so? Are they going to let that guy go? But the single biggest contract decision got made for them today.
Yeah, David Price is coming back. They picked up the option on Sale yesterday, which was a no-brainer, but Price saying today he's going to be back. So, all right, there's your top two pitchers. The free agent group is not very expansive, so they're going to make a couple of decisions. And then as far as, like, other free agents from other teams, they're not going to be in on all the big-name guys. You know, their lineup and their rotation is
pretty set.
They've
already got the highest payroll in baseball.
Right, exactly. But they also don't need to be. Like, they're the highest payroll, but they're also the best team. You know, we've seen years before where they've had a really high payroll, but they really needed a bat, you know, like last year, and then they added J.D. Martinez. So he's back next year. Mookie, the whole outfield, all these guys are back next year. So the Yankees and some of those other teams, they're going to be a lot more busy in the offseason.
So OMF is coming up in just a few minutes. I don't believe they're talking to Alex Cora today. They will talk to him one more time, you know, at the end of the season. I don't know that it'll be today. But they're coming up in just a couple of minutes. And as we say goodbye from Fenway Park, we thought that what we'd do for probably the final time here as the World Series celebration kind of winds down for most folks is take you back to something Jason Rossi put together a little earlier this week. Our What Else You Got segment this week is a celebration of the Sox World Series.
As far as everybody thinking that he'd be the ideal type of leader for the Boston Red Sox, so welcome aboard, Alex Cora.
Pitch, looping drive, left center field, on the go, the left fielder spanning, he and Kiermaier get crossed up, the ball was rolling behind them all the way toward the warning track. Here goes the runner rounding second on his way to third. Nunez being waved home, here comes the throw to the plate, and he's safe with an inside the park home run.
1-1. Mookie swings and he hammers one deep to left field, way back and gone, home run, Mookie Betts.
That's the benefit of having power throughout the lineup. were just a walk and a bloop away from getting back in the game, and then a swing away from tying it or getting ahead, and that's very important.
Here's the pitch, and it's swung, and there's a drive to left field, long gone. Out of Fenway Park completely, a three-run homer, number 42 for J.D. Martinez.
I didn't realize this was going to be so emotional, Alex.
I'm becoming emotional.
The 2-2. Swing and a miss, strike three. The Red Sox have won the American League's Eastern Division Championship for the third straight year. For the first time in Red Sox history, they have finished in first place in three consecutive seasons. There's a drive to left field, back by the wall. Is it high enough? Yes! Three-run homer into the first row of the monster seat by J.D. Martinez.
The 1-2. Swung on, tapped down to third, slowly hit. Charging is Nunez. He fires to first. Stretch! Got him! What a play by Pierce! And the Red Sox have won the division series against the Yankees.
And the 1-1 to JBJ. Swinging a high drive to right field. Reddick going back. Back to the warning track. This ball is going, and it is gone! A grand slam for Jackie Bradley Jr. Kimbrel at the belt. He fires. Swinging a fly ball left field. Benintendi moving back. Back toward the wall. He reaches up. He makes the catch. And the Red Sox have won the American League pennant for the 14th time in their history.
Do you appreciate more how hard it is to get here and the rare opportunity of World Series?
Yeah, to get to this point, it is hard. And I only got the opportunity, we have plenty of opportunities, but I only made it once in 07.
And he swings and drives one left center field, deep. Hernandez back at the wall, goodbye. Home run, Steve Pierce, and the Red Sox lead it 2-0. Sale winds, he fires. Swing and a miss, strike three, it's over. The Red Sox have won the World Championship. The Boston Red Sox beat the Los Angeles Dodgers 5-1. They win the World Series 4-1. And the Red Sox become the first team in the 21st century with 4 World Championships. Can you believe it?
These fans right here, they have, the Red Sox are what are they?
They're World Champions, baby. World Champions in the world.
Day one, you guys bought into the concept. Day one, we were a family. Throughout the year, we added people to the equation. People are talking about the Red Sox. I'm proud of you guys, but honestly, thank you.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly.